Lafitte Pinkai III, typically with NBC, is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He is on site at Parks working with Comcast Sportsnet. And Lafitte, really appreciate you taking a little time to talk about these races this afternoon.
Absolutely. Mike and Jude, how are you guys?
Great.
Yeah, doing well. Always a joy to have you with us, my friend, and looking forward to those great races this afternoon, not just the Grade II $1 million Pennsylvania Derby, but also that Grade I $1 million Cotillion, which will precede the Pennsylvania Derby. That's a field of 12, 11 betting interests and a rock-solid group going a mile and a 16th.
An exciting day of racing, guys, and I think that they're prestigious races in their own right, the Penn Derby and Cotillion, but the relevance it's had for a springboard towards the Breeders' Cup the last couple of years, these races have served as perfect preps, going back to Close Hatches, who wins here, and then she runs second in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Untappable wins the Cotillion. She wins the Breeders' Cup Distaff. We just saw Willis Horton downstairs. They have Take Charge Brandy going today. Will Take Charge wins the Pennsylvania Derby, just misses in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and of course, Byron last year. So while the races, as individual events, everybody's excited about, but it's what it means. It feels like the start of the final round of preps towards the Breeders' Cup.
Well, it's amazing, Lafitte, because you mentioned those names, and as I was doing some homework for these races, I went back even further, and you look at that Pennsylvania Derby, and you see winners like Macho Uno and Summer Squall mm-hmm. and Broad Brush, and then on the Cotillion side, A Shadow and Jostle and Susan's Girl and Shuvi. So these have been races that have been prominent in our sport for a very long time.
Absolutely. It's not going to be mistaken for the Beldame at Belmont Park, or even what was the Lady's Secret or now the Zenyatta at Santa Anita. Not at first glance, but like you said, when you go back through the history books and you see the names that have won these races and how productive these races have been over the years on a championship stage, it's relevant. And these are good three-year-old fillies we're going to see in this Grade One Cotillion now. I was a little surprised the Pennsylvania Derby didn't get the Grade One billing after last year with Chrome showing up and then Byron, of course, winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. But you're seeing fillies exiting the Alabama. Embellish the Lace is not going to have that soft, easy, early trip that she got in the Alabama. There's a lot of speed. There is a key scratch. Desert Valley is out, which I think softens up the pace for Embellish the Lace. And I think that I'm a Chatterbox is going to be sitting in the catbird seat to finally not only cross the wire in front of a Grade One event, but get a chance to actually keep that Grade One win after she was DQ'd in the SCCA Oaks.
Yeah, that was, controversial, but I think it was the right decision. But I'm a Chatterbox looks like she's just going to be in the cherry spot, sitting right behind the speed. And Florent Giroux, is there any hotter jockey in the nation than Florent Giroux?
Man, has he come around. And Caden Bradar's on the show with us, and Doug, obviously, Florent's agent. All she said was Flo's very confident regarding I'm a Chatterbox. I think he's expecting a big performance from her today. And, yeah, again, the absence of Desert Valley hurts a little bit in terms of the pressure which Embellish the Lace, who is kind of an all-or-nothing type. She's feast or famine. Either she parks or you can't find her. We'll see how much pressure she does face today on paper. It looks like she's going to face some. But, yeah, I'm a Chatterbox with Larry Jones. And I'm surprised with all the great mares that Jones has had over the years, this would be a first Cotillion win for him.
Wow. That is shocking. You wouldn't expect that. But,
right?
Of course, this race is elusive in its own right. And we'll see which of these fillies can get the top prize this afternoon. Again, that scratch of number 2, Desert Valley, as Lafitte just alluded to. So we're down to a field of 11. Those 10 betting interests should be a good one coming up at 4:50 Eastern Time. It will be followed by the Grade 2 Pennsylvania Derby, field of 10, including Frosted, who, as I mentioned, Lafitte, in some people's eyes, was vilified after running American Pharoah, well, I won't say into the ground, but kind of pressuring him early in the Travers. A lot of people thought it took some starch out of his stretch run, and Frosted back in action this afternoon.
And Frosted shouldn't be vilified. Jose Lascano should be vilified. Okay, listen, you know what, guys? Nobody said they have to roll out the red carpet for the Triple Crown winner. Nobody's going to hand you the Travers. And I think that it is interesting in the comments following the Travers that that wasn't necessarily the game plan. And that's part of the mystique of Saratoga and the weird things that seem to happen there that lead to this graveyard of favorite type of stigma, a completely different race shape as a result of something that happens an hour before the race with Joel Rosario going down. Lizcano, a little more aggressive, and he saw American Fair was going to be on an easy early lead, so he turned up the heat on him. There's nothing wrong with it. It may be looked down upon, and in the end, I'm convinced that if Frosted was ridden the way Kieran McLaughlin intended Joel Rosario to ride him, I'm not saying American Pharoah wins. What I am convinced of is that American Pharoah and Frosted run 1-2. I'm not saying which order. I'm convinced they run 1-2. They did a huge favor for Donegal Racing and for Keen Ice, who, by the way, is really coming along in a great article I read about Dale Romans and describing how he's matured and how he's turned the corner and how good of a racehorse he has turned out to be. He deserves all the credit in the world. And a chilly, chilly ride from Javier Castellano taking advantage of that speed duel, running those two horses down in the Travers. I just wonder what the race would have looked like had Rosario not gone down in the forego an hour prior.
Yeah, that's one of the things that makes our game so interesting is little nuances, subtle things like that really can change the results of a race, and you don't think about it at the time, you know, when you're just write the new jockey's name down on your past performances and go on with it. But you and I know that sometimes the jockeys make a huge difference in the outcome. And your father, he was the only jockey I ever saw that could actually make a horse win that didn't want to win. He's the only one. And you know how many races I've seen in my lifetime? A lot. So, I mean, you know, it's an amazing thing sometimes the way riders have an influence on races.
Thanks, Jude. That means a lot. And Rosario, Joel's the only rider that I've watched since. And it's, you know, following and covering the races the last several years, he's the one guy that reminds me of my old man as far as just brute strength and the ability to carry a horse over the wire. We've seen that time and time again with Rosario. And it's interesting that, you know, the last time we had a Triple Crown winner running in the Travers, you know, Pilot Strategy played a huge role in the outcome, where my father wound up getting disqualified for interfering with Aladar on Affirmed. And here you are 37 years later, and you didn't have anything as significant as a disqualification. And clearly what Lizcano did with Frosted was not anywhere near as abrasive of what my father did with Affirmed, not knowing that Aladar was in that pocket. But still, you had a situation that, you know, that Lizcano sort of playing the role of an enforcer and changing the outcome of a race. And, you know, the pressure was turned off on American Pharoah at first. When you looked at the clock, it didn't look like they were going that fast. But when you consider that middle half mile at 46-3, I believe it was, both Frosted and American Pharoah, I wouldn't have been surprised if they had run last and second to last, considering how fast that middle half mile was. I don't think people realize how well American Pharoah and Frosted really did run.
Visiting with Lafitte Pinkai III here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Lafitte, only about 30 seconds left, but go ahead and give me your top pick to win the Pennsylvania Derby.
Made from Lucky. He's a specialist at 9 furlongs, 3-for-3 on the year. This is a stretch, but 3-for-3 on the year when he doesn't have to face American Pharoah, and I really like his West Virginia Derby win. Lost a lot of ground, slow pace, came from off the pace, and expect him to see more of the same today.
All right, there you have it. Lafitte Pinkai III. You can follow him on NBC's television coverage and on Comcast Sportsnet this afternoon for that Pennsylvania Derby and the Grade 1 Cotillion. Lafitte, as always, appreciate the time, my friend. Enjoy the afternoon.
Mike and Jude, always a pleasure, guys. Take care.